What a joy it is to be able to be here again this morning and to be able to enter into the fellowship and singing together, joining our voices together. And I believe it really blesses the heart of God to be able to hear the body of Christ come together and join together in song. And even though that there are each and every one of us here this morning have things going on in life that would tend to rob the life from you, the joy from you, it's by divine appointment that we are together here this morning. You have the opportunity to choose. You can choose many different places to go on a Sunday morning. And this morning you chose to be here. So I believe that God has something for us this morning as we open up our hearts, open up our minds, and allow ourselves to have the Spirit of God speak to us. Let's just take a moment and ask the Spirit of God to speak to us. Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to hear from you. I thank you for your holy written word. I thank you, Father, for your Spirit that guides and directs our thoughts and our minds and our hearts. And this morning, Lord, I pray that you would drive out every distraction that would cause us to not be able to focus on you this morning. So, Lord, we give this time to you. We give this place to you, and you alone are worthy of praise and honor here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Sat on the deck one morning, and as I watched, we have a bird feeder on the deck there, and there's a tree just off of the deck about 20 feet, 30 feet. And it's a real flurry of activity there in the morning when the birds get together and they feed there. And I sat on the deck one morning watching the birds and just listening to them. And I encourage you this morning, if you have never taken the opportunity to stop and listen to the different songs of the birds, it's a beautiful thing. God has created creation, and his hand is just over in everything. His hand is all over the songs that the birds sing. You have the blue jay screeching out his tune, whatever it is. You have the bluebird with a very beautiful tune. You have the cardinal singing its tune. And you have the mockingbird just kind of mimicking everybody else and really doesn't have anything specific to a tune that he goes by. And as I'm watching this, the birds are feeding there at the feeder, and all of a sudden they scatter. And a hawk comes flying into the tree and sits in the tree. And the things got quiet. There were no birds singing. There were no birds moving. They scampered for their lives as this hawk came in. And as things got quiet, and I thought about how each bird has its unique song. The bluebird has a unique song. The cardinal has a unique song. Even the mockingbird and his mimicking was fun to listen to. But as this hawk came in, everything became quiet. God has created you and I unique. God has created you and I, each of us, with a song. And I wonder this morning, has life closed in on you in such a way that you have focused on things that are terrifying, that have caused a song to go out of your lips? Has life closed in on you in such a way that it seems like every way you turn, it just seems like Satan is there to just wipe out the joy, to take the joy from your lips that God has placed there? God has developed each of us, each of you, with a specific song, with a unique song. And I ask you this morning, are you singing that song? Are you singing the song that God has placed on your lips to sing for the honor and glory of Him? Or has life pressed in on you? Is life crushing you down and the song has stopped and has ceased and become quiet on your lips this morning? Has your song been silenced by life? You know, I was challenged as I thought about things that take the song from my lips. I thought about different things that take the song out of my life. Because each of us, we have a life that God has placed. God has placed a life. Those of you that have been born again have the life and the Spirit of God in you. And it is for His honor and glory. What were we created to do? To honor and glorify God. Each and every one of us, each and every one of us has been created to honor and to glorify God. And I ask you this morning, are you doing that? Is that happening? Is your voice sounding out the honor and the glory of God in the life that you're living? You know, not only are we faced with many things that can just literally like the hawk that will crush out the song in our lips and our lives, but also the mundane day-to-day life can tend to take the life out of us. And so I think we need to be aware this morning that it's not always something big that comes that will take the life or take the song from us, but it can be the mundane daily living life that can kind of wipe the joy and the life out of us. My father he started working at Terry Hill Concrete when he was 17 years old, and he passed away at 77, at 80. He quit working at Terry Hill Concrete at 77 years old. Passed away when he's 80, which was 2011, 5 years ago. For 60 years, he persevered at the same job. He was married to the same woman for a lot of long years. And he drove the same car until it was dead. It went to the junkyard when it left his place. And I just had to think how much of an example of perseverance my father left me. Just hanging in there, just keeping on. The old car, that was, as long as it would go, it was good enough. And I had to think about our lives, how we get so discontented, how we get distracted by wanting something else, by wanting something more, and by the things that Satan just continually brings into our lives to try and attract us to something, just to make us discontent and to lose focus. And I titled this the message this morning, Persevere to the End. Persevere to the End. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. I'm just going to read a verse there. We're not going there for the text. Acts chapter 14, verse 22 starting in verse 21 is when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And Paul and the apostles, as they came back through, and they encouraged the disciples to hang in there, to continue on. And that is going to be the point of the message this morning. Persevere. Hang in there. Continue on. Keep going. You see, Satan and the world, they don't care if you persevere, or they don't care if you continue on for a period of time. Just don't continue on to the end. Just don't persevere to the end. It doesn't matter. Satan doesn't care if you do good for a period of time, as long as you don't continue unto the end. And the challenge that I want to leave with you this morning is to hang in there. Persevere. Keep on. And the scripture to look at this morning is found in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. You see, Satan, he doesn't care. He will put doubts in your mind. You can begin your pilgrimage or your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you begin your walk with Him. And all of a sudden, Satan is throwing all kinds of stuff into your path to make you believe that it is not worth the energy and the effort that it takes to do this. I can't do this. See, Satan, when we put on the armor of Jesus Christ, when we put on the armor of faith and take up the shield of faith those things, Satan will pick away at your armor with little arrows, little darts, just chipping away, sending those little arrows of doubt, sending those little arrows of fear, sending those little arrows, whatever it might be. He just picks away, chips away, and you and I, as children of God, are called to persevere. And when you're called to persevere, that speaks that there is going to be something that is going to be challenging and is going to be difficult. However, we have been blessed by having the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and to lead us and to guide us and to give us direction and to understand the times that the fierce attacks of the enemy come. You know, sometimes it makes you wonder, couldn't I just have a rest? Couldn't I just have a holiday? Couldn't I just have some time off from this here constant being aware of and understanding that Satan's goal is to destroy me? Satan's goal is to destroy the battle that rages between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Never lets up. It never lets up. And if you're here this morning and you feel like you're at a place where you're, I can rest. I assure you, Satan sees that as well. Because we are to persevere. We are to carry on. We are to not grow weary. We're all familiar with the comment, curse God and die. That was Job's wife telling him, curse God and die. In the heat of the battle, in the heat of the time of torture and testing, along comes this person that's supposed to be your mate and says, curse God and die. Curse God and die. What is the good of being zealous? Be quiet like the rest. Sleep as others do. Let your lamp go out like the foolish virgins. Why do you hold on to these doctrinal things that you hold on to? Sensible men are getting more liberal. They're moving old landmarks. Fall in with the times. Come on. Why persevere? Why maintain doctrinal stability? Why walk in it? Get with it. Everybody's becoming more liberal. Let it go. Forget about it. It's too much of a battle for you. You and I know that when you stand up for doctrinal truth, for the truth of God's word, when you stand up for the truth of God's word, the battle increases. We have all experienced that. So why carry on? Why not just quit? You know why? Because we'll look at the life of Job and we'll see how that, what Job did, and it is very encouraging. Let's read James chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Now listen to these verses. They are directed towards an oppressor. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. And listen to verse 6, because it is relative to the rest of the verses. You have condemned. You have murdered the just, and he does not resist you. Verse 7, it switches gears, and it comes to those that are being persecuted, to those that are being murdered and condemned. And he says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord and as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. So here we have this here we have this scene. We have the oppressor. And as it says in verse 6, you have condemned, you have murdered the just, and he does not resist you. And then in verse 7, it says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And I want us to understand something this morning. We are in a war. We are in a battle. It is the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. We are in a battle. There is no doubt about it. And I ask you this morning, where is that battle being waged? Where is that battle being waged? Let's take a look. Verse 6, you have condemned, you have murdered the just, and it does, and he does not resist you. The battle that we fight today, and we have the scripture in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, where Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. So we kind of got this idea that the war is being waged out here somewhere, that this here battle, this thing that's going on is kind of out there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. It's kind of out there. But may I draw your attention this morning, where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is found right here in you and I. I lost the verse. Luke 17, 20. Let me read that for you just to establish that fact. Luke 17, 20 and 21 says this. And when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. We cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. You can see what it does, but you cannot see the kingdom of God. It does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? Within us, within you is where the kingdom of God is. Guess where the kingdom of darkness is? It's within people. And you wonder why in the world it is, and it should be no surprise to us, the battle that we have with relationships. Because there is this war, the kingdom of God warring against the kingdom of the world, the kingdoms of darkness, and it's happening right with people. We've kind of separated. We put it out there. It's kind of this here, this thing that's going on out here. But should it be no surprise to us that we struggle with the relationships with our children, that we struggle with relationships with our parents, that we struggle with relationships with our bosses, that we struggle with relationships with coworkers? And should it be no surprise to us, because the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness are being fought within the realm of people. And again, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And this is what I want to bring to our attention this morning. We are waging war against the kingdom of darkness, not against people. When the relationships become difficult and it seems like there is no way out, when relationships become difficult, remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. But it's happening within the realm of people. That's where it's happening. And so, looking at this here oppressor, the rich person who has condemned the just and brings pain and suffering, I assure you this morning that the enemy, the kingdom of darkness, moving against the kingdom of God, there are things that happen that we tend to draw our focus and our attention on the person. And there have been numerous times that Karen and I have had to stop in the heat of an argument or something and say, whoa, time out, stop. I'm not your enemy, and I know that you're not my enemy. You see what's going on? I'm not your enemy, and you're not my enemy. There is an enemy who is raising havoc with our relationship. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You may be here this morning and you're at odds with your son. You're at odds with your daughter. You're at odds with your parent. And this morning, it just seems like it is impossible. It is impossible. Everything you try, everything you do just seems to fall apart. I'm here to tell you this morning, hang in there. Hang in there. Persevere. You're coming against the kingdom of darkness. And there is a day God is going to be glorified. Amen? Amen? There is a day God will be glorified. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give up. If it's your boss or if it's your coworker or if it's a neighbor or whatever it might be, don't give up. Because the kingdoms are at war with each other. And I remind you again, take your focus off of the person. Please, take your focus off of the person. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:18. It was in my Bible. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Let me read them to you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to, what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. How do these things work? Having put on, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And as it relates to this here battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness and it being connected to people, there's nothing more valuable than truth. Truth. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And may I say again that in this interaction, this battle, this war, there is nothing more valuable than the weapon of righteousness that they cannot come against. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, in relation. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I challenge you this morning to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in these relationships, in this battle, in this war, that you're being called to persevere in, take up the shield of faith. Believe in Jesus Christ. Not in yourself, not in your works, not in your ability, but in a total confidence and trust in Jesus Christ to work it out and allow him to do it. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But at the same time, the verse that I read there earlier in Acts, with much suffering, there are those that would try to convince you that the war against evil is strictly supernatural, kind of separated out there somewhere, out there with the idea that you need some kind of help. You need some kind of supernatural intervention, deliverance from the very things that are being, the very battle that is being waged among human beings are normal things that every person is experiencing in life. And somehow we have created this here thing that when I'm suffering, if there's something going on, and we look again at the scripture of Job, we look at the story of Job, and he says here in verse, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but to consider Job, how that he persevered, even though he didn't understand what was going on. He didn't understand, but he persevered. He hung in there, and in the end, it was beautiful. And I assure you this morning, hang in there. In the end, it's going to be beautiful. You will not be able to comprehend. You cannot comprehend what God has prepared for you. So hang in there. Don't grow weary. There are deliverance ministries that are filling people's minds with the lie that the battle is exclusively supernatural, and therefore I am unable to do battle. That is supernatural, and therefore I am unable to do battle. The consequence of this is to remove the battle to a realm outside somewhere. That what I'm experiencing is not normal. What I'm experiencing is not normal. We're in the flesh, friends. We are in the flesh. And we will be tempted. And we will be tested. And we will be tried. And when these things happen, it's not abnormal. It is what people are experiencing. It's what people are experiencing. And God is giving you the weapons to fight this battle. He has blessed you with the weapons of faith. He has blessed you with the weapon of righteousness. He has blessed you with the sword of the word. You have the ability to fight the battle. You are not signaled out somehow special. I believe that there is a time and a place for deliverance. I believe that. I believe there's a time and a place for intervention. I believe that. Don't hear me wrong. But many of us are facing the normal battle of the kingdoms, and we kind of set it aside as being out there, that we can't touch it, we can't change it, it cannot be changed. And it is in that grip that we go through life, and we get weary, and we give up, and say, I can't do it. I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can. You can. To put it simply, the evil one works through the basic building block of society. Ideologies, social structures, institutions. In other words, he works through people. He works through people. That's what he does. If you're here this morning and you feel like you're at the end of your rope, you can't fight another battle, you can't go on. I call you to Job. I call you to Job. Job was a righteous man. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And Job's sons and daughters would take the time rather regularly to get together and to party together to whatever they did. And Job... For Job said, Job took up this thing where he would offer sacrifices for his children when they'd do these here parties and stuff, where they'd have these here, whatever they were. They were probably, apparently, some pretty wild parties. And Job saw what they were doing, and he went and he offered up sacrifices on their behalf. And he said this, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts, and thus Job did regularly. He was involved with his children. He was involved with his family. He understood how the enemy could destroy them, and he got involved. And I suggest this morning, if you're in a relationship with a child or a father or mother, someone, get involved by offering, if you will, many prayers on their behalf, on behalf of the relationship. Offer prayers up. Offer prayers up. You can do that. You can do that for your children. You can do that for your children that are not walking with the Lord. Offer up prayers for them. Lift them up that way. And we all know the story, how that the sons of God got together and on a day. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among to present himself before God. And Satan says, can I have at Job? And he says that Job is just a good man simply because he is being blessed. And I ask you this morning, are you a good man simply because you are being blessed by God? What happens if God takes away the blessing that we call blessing materially, physically? What if he takes it away? Are you still going to persevere? Are you still going to hang in there? Are you still going to continue on? Are you still going to glorify God? And when the people tell you to curse God and die, what are you going to tell them? At the point when you're at your lowest point and your friends come along and they tell you, what sin is it that's in your life? Confess it. Get it out there once. Then this here stuff will stop. But anyway, God gave Satan the freedom to harass Job to the fullest extent. Like nothing I believe any of us have ever experienced in our life. He took away his flocks. He took away his cattle. He took away his wealth. And he slew all his children. And as though that was not enough, then Satan comes back to God and he says, and what happened? But Job still continues to bless God. Well, let me at his body. Let me attack him physically. His body. And God gave him the freedom to do that. And he was covered with boils. He was sitting there in pain. He had pain like very few of us can describe. And along comes his wife and says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die. And this is Job's response. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, it says, Job did not sin with his lips. And then as he's sitting there in ashes and he's covered with boils, painful, along come his friends. They come and sit with him. And then one of them eventually speaks up and says, what's the sin that's in your life that you're hiding, that you're not confessing? It'd be a little bit like me going when Leon Weaver came out of open heart surgery and was in incredible pain. It'd be like me sitting beside his bed and saying, Leon, what for sin is in your life that you have this pain this morning? How uncaring and unkind and cruel can you get to one who is suffering intensely? But there are those. The battle is being waged. The battle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God is happening within the realm of people in mankind. That's where it's happening. Patience. Patience. It says in verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, and see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early rain and the latter rain. Now let me tell you a little bit about farmers, if you don't know, but I thought most of you probably do. Dave Stoner, he plants his hay. He waits for the hay to grow. First of all, he has to wait till it stops raining. It has to rain enough. The ground has to get just right. He has to wait for that. He has to then plant the seed. The hay then grows. He has to wait for it to grow. He has to wait for a sunny day to cut the hay. And then he cuts the hay. And then he has to wait for it to dry. And in the time that he cuts the hay, it rains on it. So he has to wait some more for it to dry. And then he cuts the hay and he puts it in the barn and he waits until the market is right. And there is a market for it. It is a lifetime of waiting. Is that not correct, Janice? Waiting and waiting. It takes an incredible amount of patience. We go to the doctor's office and we wait. We go to the grocery store and we wait in the line. We go out to eat and we wait. And guess what? We wait till the waiter comes. We wait until we can order. We wait until we get our food. We wait until we get the check. We wait for dessert. Vice versa there. But anyway, we wait till we get the desserts and then we wait for our check. And then you give them your credit card and you wait till they come back. And our life is full of waiting, and we don't like to wait. I was sitting along Route 301 in Florida with the gas tank empty. It wasn't my fault. The gauge wasn't working right or something. I don't know. You know, that's funny, but we do. We quickly find somebody to blame it on. We quickly find something else to blame it on. We quickly look around us when we're impatient and we can't go on anymore and we're not persevering anymore and things are just not happening the way we want them to happen, then we get impatient. And we don't like to wait. I remember the days that Mom, we would eat lunch and we had to wait to go swimming. That was the longest hour. I mean, just torture to wait, to go swimming an hour after we ate lunch. Torturous. We had our granddaughters with us this weekend, and we have a little kiddie pool out back where they were so excited to go swimming. And it got up in the morning at 6:30 or 6:45 or whatever it was, and they were soon wanting to go swimming. I said, no, you got to wait until the sun comes out and warms the water a little bit. You'll be too cold. Well, this was every half hour we wanted to go swimming. The waiting, it's incredible. I mean, it's just torturous. You can't wait. Want to go swimming. God's saying, hang in there. God's saying to you this morning, hang in there. There's a lot of things that are going to happen in life, just like it did with Job. Just like it did with Job. There are many things that will come your way that you will not understand. And he's saying, hang in there. Hang in there. Consider the farmer, how that he has to wait for the rain. In verse 8, well, how are we supposed to wait? In verse 8, it says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So we wait patiently. Wait with patience. Persevere with patience, understanding that the Lord is coming back. He did not forget you. He did not forget about this earth and the people that he's placed here and his promise to come back. He did not forget about it. Do not grumble, verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And this one here I think is huge. When we are impatient, when we lack perseverance, when we lack the faith or the patience, then we become grumblers and complainers. We start to grumble against each other. Well, you know, if so-and-so would do what they're supposed to do, then I could, then it would work better. So I wouldn't be so impatient if so-and-so wouldn't be who they are. So we start to grumble against each other. So now we're impatient and grumblers. And that makes a mess. Think about it. Do you know that most people try to control the uncontrollable? Do you know most people try to control the uncontrollable? They worry about it. That's how they try to control it. They worry about it. Think about it. If it can be changed, why worry about it? If it can't be changed, why worry about it? Either way, it's senseless to worry. And we become worriers, grumblers, and complainers. God is saying, persevere. Hang in there. Stop grumbling. And especially watch how you interact with each other, because the war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, but is fought in the realm of people. Is fought in the realm of people. You often heard a man marries a woman hoping she will never change, and a woman marries a man hoping he will. You can't change people, and you can't keep people from changing. Can you influence them? Yes. Can you change them? No. Can you influence them? Yes. Can you change them? No. You can cross the same river 1,000 times, but it is never the same water. You can cross the river 1,000 times, but it's never the same water. That same spot you can walk across at the same spot, it's never the same water. People change, and people can't be changed, but people change. In dealing with people, there are a lot of situations where you must develop patience. The prophets, he says, consider the prophets. In verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. There are many of the prophets who spoke the word of the Lord, who prophesied, who spoke truth, and people did not respond. In fact, they hated them. In fact, they killed them. So they went on hating and killing. And sometimes we are going to be faced with the same thing. Be patient. Verse 11, indeed we count them blessed. That's why. Indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. And why is it that he wants us to persevere? Why is it? It's a blessing. There's a blessing in it to continue on in faith, to have faith, to continue on and to go forward in the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. You might be here this morning and you're thinking, right now you're thinking, I just can't make it another month. May I suggest to you, make it another week. You may say, I just can't make it through another week. Then I suggest to you, put your trust in God and you can make it through another day. You may say, I just can't make it through another day. Then I say, put your trust in God and you can make it through another hour. Don't look at the whole picture. Don't look at the whole picture. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, life is hard. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, life is hard. So I hope that you're encouraged this morning to consider Job, to persevere, to be patient, and especially in the realm of relationships where the war is being fought. Be patient, persevere, hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give up. God is still in control. He's still on the throne. He is still Lord of all. And the battle, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's God's family. Hang in there. When you're tempted to give up, when you're tempted to grow weary, look at the end result. And we, many of us, have not yet resisted unto blood. So there's more things. So we have now to live. Let's live now. When we have now to live, let's live it. Live it. And may God be glorious. May his kingdom be established. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have for your written word. I thank you, Lord, that we have the promise and the hope that we can persevere, we can have patience, and that we can walk the walk that you have called us to. Lord, help us not to focus on flesh and blood, but help us to focus on the battle that is raging in the spiritual realm. And I pray, Lord, that we would daily be able to recognize the things that the enemy lays before us as he picks away at our armor, as he drives little wedges in that just chips away. And Lord, help us to be ever vigilant in recognizing the enemy's attacks. When people say things, when people do things, that the enemy takes opportunity to use that to destroy your kingdom. So, Father, this morning, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together for a closing song. And again this morning, the altar is open. If there's someone here this morning that feels a need to do business with God here at the altar, it is open. You can come as you wish. And may the chorister lead us in song.